The next item on the agenda is a thematic discussion about the future of staffing, paid and unpaid, and volunteerism. And the purpose of this discussion is not to decide anything, and I'll refer to some comments made by the public about licensing. There's no immediate licensing proposal before us. That was a thematic discussion about ideas. We spend a lot of time in the conduct of business and specific motions, and not enough time together talking about long-range ideas and where we intend to go. Now, 60 minutes was allotted for this discussion. I think that given the schedule, we might... I can't get it any closer than this without swallowing the windscreen. Anyhow, the purpose of this discussion is to talk about how we do staffing. When every staff person you hire is a long-term commitment of funding and you're facing continuing financial strains on the institution, we really need to make decisions about how we're going to do staffing principles, not who's going to get hired on any narrow job, but what are our principles network-wide around our economic model. In some stations, we have paid... In some stations, we have paid producers doing programming. In other case stations, it's exclusively volunteer. The question is, when a station raises money and is going to hire staff, for what purposes do we hire staff? What is our long-term approach and philosophy with regard to staffing? Before we start the discussion, in the interest of time, would the board accept spending 45 minutes on this discussion instead of the hour allotted?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, just to remind, the purpose of this is to bring the issues up and to get each other thinking about how we're going to address this consistently and coherently over time. So the I believe, Greg, that each of the managers has prepared a brief statement on the allocation of their staff effort to different areas of their programs.
I had asked them to be prepared to speak generally to that and to also think about the larger topic.
Okay. So we were hoping to start with maybe 3-minute presentations from each of the managers describing to us how much of their staffing expenditures are devoted to each of the major categories of effort at their stations.
And you have 4 managers rather than 5 because Lim-Lim's
not available. So we have, I take it, Dwayne, Ron, Eva, and Indra, although Indra's taking her final.
Indra will not be able to be with
us. Okay, so we have 3
time.
Managers. So, Eva, would you like to start?
No.
Okay, are you willing to start?
Not really.
Okay. We're hoping to do it in like 3 or 4 minutes, and just a general sense of who gets paid. What are the general categories of expenditure on staffing? How much do you spend?
Just to clarify, this is asked about a month ago. I asked also that the managers begin to address that in their reports pursuant to a motion by Sandy Wyman at your last meeting to regularize management reports and to address issues across the network, and staffing being one of them. And then we discussed this as well on Thursday prior to this meeting. So
okay. Before we do this, I just want to remind people, even though you're far away at the other side of the room, the acoustics are such that even those low conversations at the back do reach us. So if you could get your coffee and do that outside, we'd appreciate it. Thank you. Ron.
Okay. First of all, WPFW, as I've said many times, has one of the smallest staffs in the network. Now, we're talking about paid staff here. In terms of what we're going to do and what we're currently doing in terms of staff development, quite frankly, we're going to be restructuring our staff. We have a limited number of resources. We have some very, very important needs that have to be met. The best way for us to achieve that and still be within budget would be to restructure our current staffing. That will mean that some people's job descriptions will have to be modified. Some positions would have to be eliminated. Some positions will have to be created. the biggest impetus here is to stay within budget. The concern is getting more productivity out of the positions that we have. The positions that we currently have listed at WPFW, those have been with the station for, well, quite a number of years now, at least 10 years. Some positions, once again, to address some of our needs will have to be restructured, will have to be evaluated in terms of how can we make that position more productive, more sensitive, you know, to the needs of the station. Yes, there will be some other issues in terms of whether positions should remain at full time, whether some positions can be served on a part-time basis and still be effective, and adding some positions that we currently need without going over budget.
Could you describe those?
Sure. One of the issues, let's take positions that I feel we currently need. We currently need a volunteer coordinator because WPFW is volunteer driven. We have over 150 volunteers at WPFW. And without a volunteer coordinator, it gets a little messy at times. The other issue is that with having so many volunteers, whether they're participating in our players' drives, whether they're participating as programmers, producers, and hosts, we feel that in terms of outreach, in terms of financial viability, then we have to create those. We have to fund and hire someone for that position. Because we are, like I say, we are driven by volunteers. We have so many volunteers, and that's why we have such a small staff. But that also is why so many times we've been able to stay on budget. And we want to continue that. But volunteers have requests, and volunteers have needs also. So that's one of the positions. A tech position, because technology is important to the growth of the station. We need somebody in a position, in a consistent position, to address those needs, to address those concerns, someone that outside sources and inside sources can go to with questions, ideas, and problems. I'd rather think of these positions as coordinating positions as opposed to director positions. Because that's essentially, you know, what's taking place. These positions, you know, for example, we have, you know, a music director. Well, that's one of the positions that we have to look at. Why? Because we have limited funding. We have a multicultural activity going on at the station. There are lots of cultural events, whether it's poetry, whether it's blues, jazz, hip-hop, world music, spoken word. And those activities require coordination. So we have to take a look at that. How can we serve all of those entities better? Because if we want to improve our programming, that's part of it. That's one of the aspects of it.
Right.
Other areas that we want to improve in, for example, particularly the tech position.
Okay.
Because we do want to we want to revive our website, and we need somebody, you know, like I say, there to shepherd that through consistently. So those are some of the areas that WPFW is concerned about right now. That's one of the tackles, one of the things that, you know, I'll be tackling when I return to D.C.
Great.
tomorrow.
Thank you. So what I thought we'd just have each of the managers talk about and then open it to the board to ask questions, have a discussion between ourselves or ask further follow-up questions. Dwayne, are you prepared or should I, Eva? You okay. And just so people know, WPFW's staff salary projection for this year is $425. I'll let you know from the income statement how much each station is spending on salaries and related. The salary line itself, gross salaries, is $425 at W.
Hi, everybody. This is Dwayne Bradley. I'm the general manager in Houston at KPFT. As far as issues of staffing in Houston, we have 12 and a half full-time equivalents, 12 full-time, one part-time staff. That's at a station arguably the smallest in the network with an operating budget this year of about $1.6 million. And about 40% of that is in the salaries and related expenses portion of the budget. That includes benefits and all of the other ancillary issues that are in that line in the budget. And we have our staff kind of broken into departmental units. I have a management team, including myself, of four, and that's comprised of the business manager, the program director, and the development director. And within those areas, the development director has a team of four, of which she is a part, and that includes the membership coordinator, our events and outreach coordinator, and our web administrator. The program director has direct reports from a music director, two full-time news co-directors, a half-time operations person. The chief engineer is kind of an independent unit, working sometimes with the program director but reporting directly to me as general manager. And we have a full-time administrative assistant, technically the administrative assistant to the general manager and program director, but effectively she's the gatekeeper, receptionist, security guard. And that's basically the staff situation at KPFT. So we have a pretty lean staff. We have about 240 regular volunteers. All of the programming at KPFT, save for the KPFT local news and an operations capacity in our morning show, are completely produced, engineered, and operated by volunteers. So the staffing situation in Houston is such that the funds dedicated to paid staff are not paying people to be DJs, not paying people to be show producers. They're paid to facilitate the operation of the organizational structure to create an environment for the community to produce and to put the programs out over the air and take advantage of the resource.
Thank you very much. That was and KPFT's salaries line is $465,000 against the total budget of
$1.6 million.
Eve is next, and Brian, I don't know if you were prepared for this, but in terms of the staff allocation and the archives, but if you'd like to, you're welcome to weigh in after Eva.
No, I'd like to give the opportunity to prepare, so thank you all for the time.
Okay, Eva?
Hi, everybody. KPFK has a budget of $3 million with 28 full-time staff, 5 made up of management positions, which is the GM, PD, development director, chief engineer, and operations director. I think about 70% of salaries is paid towards on-air, which would include three paid programmers, which is your drive time shows and the one overnight show. We have 2 news directors, 2 full-time news producers that produce 3 newscasts daily, and then we have a $40,000 budget for stringers. part of that on-air, part of that 70% of on-air staff, so it's your news department, it's your producers, it's the on-air staff, it's the production department, and it's traffic. All of that makes part of the on-air staff. Your technical team is board operators. We have several board operators that facilitate shows between 6 a.m. in the morning to 10 a.m. because we found that we didn't have too much consistency with volunteers during drive times, so we have paid board operators. And then we have a full-time webmaster as well as... sorry, did somebody say something? Do I have a grant writer? No, my development director writes all of our grants. And in that development department, we have the development director, our subscriptions director, and four other people in that subscriptions department. So that's pretty much, we have admin staff, we have a PD assistant, I have an assistant to myself. So that's kind of the makeup of the paid staff at KPFK. We have about 125 on-air programmers at KPFK. With about 1,200 volunteers a year that participates in the station. And one of the areas that we found that we were seriously lacking is when we made the programming changes to include Spanish language, we weren't prepared and we still have not been able to provide the resources. So we don't have, our production department closes down at 7 o'clock at night. So everybody that comes in, the volunteer programmers, and particularly Spanish language at night, they come in to produce, and they don't have the resources that the daytime people have. So that's one area that we want to extend is production in the evening, having production available over weekends so that we can increase the quality of our programming and our airwaves. That's a position that we have put in the budget. I don't see... Other than that position, I don't see KPFK expanding its full-time or paid staff at this point. And one of the areas that I'd like to advocate is to have all volunteer programmers at KPFK, and that is a very controversial statement I'm making, and rather have paid producers, more paid producers than on-air hosts that is paid. Really, instead of expanding staff, look at how we can build internships into the station on an ongoing basis. Continue to have training at the station and mentorships at the station is an area that we really need to step it up, that we're just starting off. We got a couple of grants this year to do training. And that's how I think in the long term, I'd like to see how we supplement staff. But the volunteer programmers and producers is really an area where it's always such a challenging thing as to how do you provide resources for volunteer programmers, and really there hasn't been a successful method to deal with that. We would also like to go to weekend news. We don't have weekend news. We still don't have it in our budget this year. That's an area we've increased tremendous public affairs on weekends. But we still don't have news on weekends, and as you all know, news is the most expensive production. So that's where we are in terms of staff makeup of the station and volunteer use.
Thanks. And just so everybody knows, four of the five stations are between 30% and 34% their gross salaries as a fraction of their total income. WPFW is down around 20%, but the other four are between 30 and 34. So that's the general range we're dealing with. So I guess the purpose of this discussion now is really to talk about as... Yes?
Could you give us the numbers as you did for the other station? Could you give us the numbers as you did for the other station of the gross salary amounts?
I'm sure. Sorry. The gross salaries for BEAI is $1.1 million against a total income of $3.5 million. And KPFK, excuse me, let me get down there. KPFA is $1.7 million against a total income of $5.1 million, okay, or 34%. And KPFK is $1.2 million against total income of $3.7 million.
Thank you.
So So the floor is open for discussion on the topic of how we staff our radio stations going forward and the principle for when we need new work done, how we go about doing it. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, at this point, I don't have some really substantive things to say, but I just want to implore all of the board members and all of the managers to please, and this is not a semantical point, this is a political point, please do not refer to programmers as volunteers. They are unpaid staff. This is now defined as a term in the bylaws, and that was the result of many years of struggle to recognize that whatever may be the situation in other nonprofit organizations, in community radio stations, people who come in week after week and have a fixed commitment to do a piece of work, whether it's programming or working in a department in the station, are staff and are treated as workers by management and should be treated with the rights accorded to any kind of workers. So it is not a semantic difference. It's a recognition of respect. And I would just urge people to be precise in their language. And one other just procedural point is to remind, I know Dave doesn't have to be reminded, but I want to remind him that we did agree that any of these discussions could be open to members of the public, and I'm sure there are people with us this afternoon who have expertise in this area, so I think it would be good to leave time to invite comment from the floor.
I think that's a good idea. I'll raise a point if no one else has made a point, and that is that one way we do things when we need to get work done that a manager needs to be able to direct somebody to do is to hire staff. There are other ways of doing it, which include, for example, having money available on a projects basis and doing a granting type of mechanism as opposed to a hiring of a staff person to do it. There are times when we need certain kinds of work done, and every hire that we make in those situations is a long-term commitment to that. We have no mechanism, to my knowledge, for funding projects-based stuff. We also don't have any mechanism, for hires relating to specific projects. Or maybe I'm wrong in that, but Eva, you might want to comment on that?
You're right, Dave. There's not a clear mechanism. What we've started doing is we had several grants this year for the Katrina projects and others. So what we're doing is we're creating partnerships between KPFK and other nonprofit organizations that we write grants. And then we invite people according to what the project is. We invite producers, unpaid staff, and thanks for correcting me there, unpaid staff to submit their resumes, and then we submit their resumes with the grant applications to the organizations. So that's part of how project-based money then gets allocated to producers that get selected. That's just one way.
Don?
Eva, you might want to remain here. As you know, one of the things we've really worked, and I want to commend you and other management, we've worked to eliminate independent contractors because, to a large degree, they don't have job security and they're not really given a lot of the benefits. When you're describing this program you just did, those people get health benefits under those grants. One of the things we're concerned about is that the people employed, at the stations have benefits so that they're protected in case of illness and accident and so on.
Well, KPFK's contract, as you know, is a milestone union contract that was just signed. So everybody that's full-time at KPFK has all the full benefits that management have.
Right.
So what happens with the grant proposals that we do, actually they get more money because... when you're in a grant proposal, the hourly rate is anything between $25 and $50 minimum. It's not even close to the rate that you would get as a full-time staff member. So if somebody's just working on a project for 40 hours or 80 hours at a $50 rate, that's really worth doing that work. But those people will not be getting benefits. You're correct on that one.
Rob?
Eva,
you're not going to get away that easy.
Okay. I'd like to hear your rationale for two issues. One is, I'd like to know, in your view, which positions should community radio stations budget for as continuing full-time positions versus which positions do you feel should be unpaid staff positions? And the second part of the question I'd like to know about is what you found is the most successful allocation of resources to keeping a volunteer training program in place, because we can't really engage the community unless we can train them to participate in the radio station and then go back out into the community with those skills. So if you could address that, and if Dwayne or Ron are here and want to say something about that, I'd love to hear from you too.
Well, and it's not that we're all perfect in that model of managing volunteers. We're really getting there. But it's something that Bob mentioned. It's unpaid staff and managing unpaid staff as you manage paid staff by having job descriptions, by interviewing them, by placing them in the areas that they have an interest in, by training volunteers and knowing that they're going to stay for a short term. That out of every 10 volunteers that you train, you might be left with one or two people, so that you have an ongoing process of sourcing for volunteers to come into the organization. So that's one way. But there's an entire manual on volunteer management from the NFCB that you can actually download. And there's a very successful model that we used in South Africa, and it's basically the principle of paid and unpaid workers is the same in terms of management, with the exception the one get paid and the other one doesn't. So, you know, that's one of the best models. In terms of what I think who should be paid, why did you have to ask that question?
I'm just trying to understand what a rationale is for saying We want the producers to be unpaid, but we want the board operators, for example, to be paid. I'm just trying to get a sense of what criteria you would see, and Dwayne and Ron may have a different point of
view. Yes, some of it is going to depend on stations. You, I think you absolutely have to invest money in news. There's no two ways around that. Producers having some full-time producers, particularly for your drive-time shows, are critical. And as I said, I don't believe in the payment of host on air, because I'd rather pay the producers. You have more flexibility that you can spread producers around to produce different shows and not just be tied down to one show. So I think those are critical areas. Production. I think we tend to just, throughout community radio, lack putting money and resources in production. And production is the heart of a radio station. It's when you put on that radio station, the quality of the program and the sound that you listen to is critical. And training our board ops, board ops can be paid or unpaid, but they have to be sufficiently trained so that everybody has a standard, and you know what that standard is for a board op. You know, the simple things like coming in a show, getting out of a show, stopping a show on time, all those little things is what makes all the difference to what we sound like on air. So that's an area we started paying people, because we found it was more effective to train people, so we pay them on an hourly basis. And typically in the industry, board ops, they float in between different stations, so pretty much any kind of board op works between one or two or three different stations. They don't typically have full-time jobs in the industry. That's typically what happens with board operators.
Before you go, could you describe those other production? You said production. You said board ops, but what other production were you referring to?
Production, part of production one is traffic. So this is the person that prepares your schedules for everything that goes on the air every minute of the day. That's one. The second part is we have two people in production, and what they do is we have somebody that produces Amy Goodman. They have to take a dime from the ISDN. Sometimes they have to clear it up. There's national shows that people have to download, etc. There's shows at KPFK that are pre-produced. So you'd have one of our studios are completely dedicated just for pre-production. So people would come in. You'd have a production person there, and they'll engineer the show, and they'll produce the show. So that's a lot of what happens in production.
Thank you.
It's the quality of our programming.
Ron, do you have something quick? Because now all of a sudden I see a lot of hands, so that's great.
Yeah, we've been waiting for all the technical questions.
Yeah, the only thing I want to add to this is that at W, we do we tried having unpaid board operators. Consistency was a problem. So back in September, back in August actually, we decided to go ahead and hire that position as a part-time position. Because not only does that board operator manage the programs, particularly the public affairs programs, almost exclusively the public affairs programs that we do, but they also will assist in the training of those who can, who are willing to do that, you know, on a part-time basis. That's also why the volunteer coordinator position is so important, because that volunteer coordinator will be coordinating any kind of training that we hope to, developing. And the operations person essentially is the one responsible for production work. So right now we solve those issues with an operations person, a part-time board operator, and the hiring of a volunteer coordinator.
Thank you. AC.
Over here.
The question I would like to ask the managers is, to what extent, I mean all of the managers that are here, what would you say is your frequency in taking programs off the auto port? Because auto ports, we use it for programs that comes out of all the stations. And the question is, would you say, how often would you say you would select a program or story from the auto port?
Audio port.
Dwayne, Eva, Ron, can you answer that?
Is that irrelevant?
You know, I'm no longer program director at KPFT. I don't know the answer to that question. Absolutely. I trust, I could call Ernesto and he would be able to tell you exactly the answer to that. I know we use it. I know it's valuable. And I think we probably can do better than we do.
I have one more.
Just on another area that Rob asked earlier about paid staff, also development and membership services. Those are critical areas to have paid staff. On the audio port, if you look into audio port, you'll find a lot of KPFK programmers participate and upload shows there. A lot of KPFK shows gets downloaded from audio port. The program, audio port is used pretty much on a daily basis by the individual producers from KPFK.
Let me do a follow-up question. Do you have a system set up where you can have people to review what's on AutoPort?
Yeah, absolutely.
Daily or weekly or daily or what?
Well, we have programmers and producers have independently have access to AutoPort, so they have passwords to get in audio port. So anybody that's a programmer or producer at KPFK can upload and download shows to their preference.
Thank you. Ray? Well,
okay, now that all the technical questions have been asked by the specialist, my question is more as to do, I guess, with social policy, you could say. If we do our work properly, we reach out to communities that are not included, and that very often...
Hang on, folks, can we give Ray the same respect we've given everyone else?
That very often would include people, the excluded, people who don't have, people who are not able. For example, Rob just asked you a question about how do you decide who you should pay? And that's, I guess, you decide who is vital to the functioning of the station. My question is different. Okay. We bring people who can afford less to maintain themselves outside of a salary, so that the condition of being volunteer is a very difficult one for them. Because they're coming from working class poor communities.
Yeah.
Have you thought about this and what kind of solution do you think we should
bring
to that problem?
I think one of the solutions is the, I'm losing my words here. It's a commitment to equal employment at KPFK and providing opportunities for people from diverse communities. We have started advancing people from in-house where we actually like our chief engineer, the assistant to our chief engineer is a young African-American man, which is probably one of few in this country. And so we do that on a consistent basis, look at how we can develop the paid staff. With the unpaid staff, I think, you know, you just, from station to station, you have to look at the needs of the station, what's the vision for that station, and then make an assessment as to where you put the money for paid staff. For unpaid staff, what we did, because we can't afford to pay money, our entire second floor, we built a computer system for the unpaid workers so that they have the same kind of resources that we give to paid staff. So the entire second floor is just a volunteer base.
I'm talking about specifically people who are coming from communities where they cannot afford to volunteer. So in effect, if you say, I cannot pay you, you're telling them to go home. So how do you deal, are you able to deal with that situation in a way that improve the chance of, you know, as we do outreach, we'll bring people from those communities. And if we cannot pay them, we're telling them, you cannot work at the station.
Yeah, let me finish.
Which way?
You know what? KPFK is geographically undesirable to communities of color. That's one of the things. Because we located in Hollywood, so that's one of our biggest challenges. But we've also had success with bringing in different communities of color that's producing shows as collectives. And this, some of the things that we do with our training, we don't do all of our training at the station. We do some of the training at community centers. We partner with other programs. We are now partnering with 10 different high schools and the Cesar Chavez Foundation on a training program. So instead of just saying, okay, we can't pay you money, we can't bring you to the station, we're actually taking the station to different communities. So that's another way of doing it. It's getting out there, putting the training into the community. With every budget, every grant proposal we write now, we write in money for transportation so that we can pick up that group of people that we're training. We can transport them back and forth to the station. We also wrote in stipends for everybody that goes through training. We now have stipends in our grant proposals for unpaid staff that's going to participate in doing training at the station. So that's some of the ways we've come up with.
I just wanted to add that because, you're right, it could be difficult for people, for some people to not be able to come in once a week, volunteer, or mm-hmm. you know, become a member of the unpaid staff as an individual. But one of the things that we hope to do at WPFW is to encourage, in terms of new programming, is to use collectives so that they can take part. The weight does not all fall on them. Those collectives usually meet outside the station. Those collectives can meet inside the station. We make station resources available to those collectives. And the same thing with producers. One of the reasons why we don't pay producers is because, quite frankly, we cannot afford it. But what we can afford to do is make long-distance phone calls available for them to get guests, to make the copying machine and materials available for them at no cost, copies of their programs and things like that. So we try to make it as affordable to an independent producer as possible. No one should have to come in there and spend their own money on anything except bus fare to get there and to get home. So that's our approach to it.
Any further questions? Mary? And then Sarv?
Yes, regarding paid board ops and some other things, especially I'm asking Ava, Ron, you did address some of the questions, and I think you did refer to Ray's question, but I'm still not, I have some questions about what at KPFK. Do you still have a training program? There was an apprenticeship program. That's one of my questions. I ask because we do have an apprenticeship program at KPFA, and one component as they get more skilled is to do board oping because they have hands-on that way. And we pay board ops for weekends and holidays and some daily programs requiring a lot of expertise on it, like, say, our morning show when you have a lot of call-ins and guests and things that go wrong. But I too am curious also about that, the apprenticeship. Do you have a training? Another question is, you make a sharp distinction, it sounded like, between producers and programmer and hosts. I'm on the program council of KPFA, and I'm experienced with that station. Our hosts are often also producers. Our morning show, our daily shows, this is all true. And I can't imagine how we could possibly not pay people to spend 6 hours each day to do a 1 or 2 hour daily show and have them volunteer, unless they were awfully wealthy, which I don't see as feasible. So that's maybe if I ask those two questions, I will get a better handle on why your idea that the hosts should not be paid somehow. I don't know. Maybe they have a different function and they just go in and read a script that somebody else has written. Maybe you could clarify.
There's a distinction between paid hosts and paid producers at KPFK, and it's clearly identified in the union contract as well. So I inherited that. The drive time host and overnight host, they were particularly hired as hosts, not as producers, even though they contribute to the production of their shows. They are hosts. They are hired as hosts. They are paid as hosts at a different rate than producers. So their role is a little different. They host daily shows. That's the big difference that in this case.
Okay, so it's quite different from
KPFA. It is different. On board ops, we mainly have paid board ops for the drive time shows and the news.
Do you have now an apprenticeship program?
We don't have an apprenticeship program. A couple of years ago, when KPFA's apprenticeship program was on the table for the network and all the stations to take, it was too much money, and we wanted to customize the model. One of the things that Dave Adelson did, Sound Posse, was more attractive to us than having the program that KPFA does in its complete. So we have an ongoing news training program that happens on Sundays, every Sunday, for the last 2 years, that Fernando Velasquez does. And these are youth between 14 and 19. And on a Sunday, you can come there, and there's a bunch of parents that brings their kids into the station. And now we just received a $50,000 grant, which is the training proposal, the training program that we're doing between KPFK, the Chavez Foundation, and LAUSD, the high schools in LA. So we are moving towards, getting to an internship program. In the meantime, we have various different training programs going on at the station. Does that answer your questions?
Quite a bit, yes. I had no idea that there were paid hosts, that programming could be so different in stations fairly close together.
Yeah.
That's a whole different approach. We've never had that.
Yeah, it's totally defined in KPFK's union contract.
I meant about having hosts paid to only be hosts. And
that's
not
the
involved
reason we're having this discussion.
Thank you.
I just want to clarify, she said Sound Posse. The Sound Posse had nothing to do with any actual training. They're talking about the model we use for rapid training of people. We have no relationship with the station in training.
Thanks. I had that question too.
Sorry. Just to clarify, because people always say
one
stuff.
One of the other things that we're going to be doing at W, we have quite a few, all of our signal areas have quite a few colleges and universities. And a lot of those students are very interested in coming in and getting some hands-on experience in radio, in media. So we're going to be working with those colleges and universities to channel students into WPFW. No, we're not going to pay them, but the expertise and the experience that's gained, it's worth quite a bit of money. That's also why we don't pay hosts to do shows. Our hosts do one show a week, and quite frankly, being on air in a major market is quite challenging. The opportunities are not there, so it's indeed a privilege to be
on a station like W or K or A or T or I, because those opportunities to be in a learning environment are not there in commercial radio. And commercial radio is who you know. So this is one reason, once again, why we do not pay hosts or producers. We make resources available to them, but paying hosts and producers would be a serious budget buster for WPFW.
Okay, we have time for Evelyn Sarve and AC.
Ava, on your the programs that you have that are grant-funded, the documentation in terms of those grants, are those national grants, local grants?
In terms of the grant agency or the
yes.
program? Some of it is the... It's local and national. Basically, it's the California... one of it was the California Radio and Technology Fund that we got money from. So national foundations.
Okay, because my thought is, of course, all the stations have educational and training components. And are we sharing that grant information? Are we utilizing it across all of our stations? And if not, why not? And I understand that personnel issues and stuff like that, but we are, most of us are in communities where we can tie into universities and yeah. have grant opportunities or get people to assist in writing grants, and maybe even within our listenership we have people who are available to put grant packages together. And because we are always in a money crunch, we cannot continue to wait on our listener base to support every aspect of programming and training and things that we do. And if there are grant, and I know in the educational area, mm-hmm. in terms of training and dealing with our youth programs, there are millions of dollars available. And I really want us to consider doing more of what you seem to be doing at your station in terms of getting grant money.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I also think Greg has, I think, started meetings with the development directors around the network.
Yes.
And this really hasn't been... one of the things I know is the weakness in Pacifica is that there's little currency between the stations in terms of working together. Even, you know, I'm even guilty of it with the California stations, but with Berkeley it's been really difficult because there hasn't been consistent management. So every time we try and build that relationship, management change. Our news departments work today on a daily basis, the California stations.
Mm-hmm.
But that is something we all need to work on. Greg has.
Yeah. We're sorry. My mic is off.
Sorry.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Good.
I have a question, one for Ron and one for Eva. Are the paid staff at WPFW, have you had a union contract for them this year? Is that signed contract?
Yes, we renewed and modify the existing contract.
Okay, thank you.
excuse me, he said union contract. Do you have a collective bargaining unit at W?
Not for unpaid staff, for paid staff.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What he asked about,
okay.
Paid staff.
Yeah. Okay. The second thing I want to, first of all, I want to make a small observation here. Whenever we talk about 30% or 40% of our budget is for the labor, we have to keep in mind that we are not a factory that produces widgets or gadgets. Our product is some intellectual product that we put out there. And to do that, we need intellectual people to be developing the product. So, you can't hear? All right, thank you. Also, I am very concerned about the treatment of labor at all our institutions, because every time I've seen in private industry, I've seen that they want to, whenever they want to do anything, the first thing they want to do is, we want to cut the staff down and outsource things. And we outsource them on an hourly basis so that we do not have to pay the fringe benefits, health, wealth, other benefits, and our costs are reduced. At KPFK, the unpaid staff that paid on an hourly basis, do they get any health benefits or medical benefits or other, some kind of good treatment of people, or what's the status of that?
Specific, can you be more specific when you refer to unpaid staff, or do you want me to...
Hourly basis. Whenever you have hourly basis, when you pay people on an hourly basis,
yeah.
Do they have any kind of benefits they get in addition to the hourly wage that you give them?
No, they don't.
All right. And what is the average rate of your hourly basis?
The hourly rate at KPFK is $16.85 as per a union contract.
Okay. And how many people are in that?
Category?
Yeah.
Our board ops, which is maybe, what, four, five board ops that works different hours. That's pretty much the people that we have on an hourly rate.
The rest is pretty much full-time are volunteers.
Yeah, we have an interim person in the operations position right now, but pretty much everybody's full-time at KPFK.
Okay.
And we went to the AFTRA benefits collapsed about a year ago, so we took on paying all of the full benefits for our staff.
Thank you very much. And also the last thing that I want to, I think you already hit that on that particular item. Would you agree that since the needs of each one of the stations regarding professionalism or technical needs, each one of the stations have different needs?
Mm-hmm.
And their programming are different. So it'd be very difficult for a board like us sitting at a distance to fully evaluate and come with the same kind of solution for everyone. Would you agree to that?
There's some areas that you can standardize in terms of staff components.
In general.
In general,
would you agree that each one of the radio stations is a unique entity with its own needs? And own demographics, own programs. Some have training programs like KPFA has, and other stations do not have it.
So I think that's more a question for the board than a given manager.
Sure,
I think asking a manager to ask.
Yeah. No, I just want to get the feeling it's their choice. They can refuse it and not talk. That's fine.
I wanted to say something, sorry, Dave, just on the hourly question. What we've done is write into our contract that no hourly person can be called in for less than 4 hours. So even if that person only works for 1 hour, you'd still have to pay that person for 4 hours.
Thank you.
AC, would your question be appropriate for the management question period later? Because we're at time for the discussion on staffing. Would that be all right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Then we'll go to the next item. Thank you very much, everybody. And although we didn't go too deep, at least some of us have realized how different things are at the different stations. And thank you.